Great to be with you for a very special edition of NBL Now, because only about an hour ago, the Boomer squad has been announced for the Paris Olympics. A lot of discussion about the way that they're going to play and some of the names that have been included in this squad. So let's drill down a little bit further. I'm Jack Hevron. Great to have Ryan Brockhoff join us from the States. Rowdy, good morning to you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I've just had dinner and kids are going up into the bath and to bed, so a bit of peace and quiet for this afternoon.
We're operating on different timescales now. Pete Hawley alongside us as well. Halls, you've had a chance to have a look at the squad. Great to have you with us. Question to both of you. What's the initial reactions here?
It's good to be here. I remember doing this for the World Cup with Rowdy, so it's good to see his face here and hear his voice. And the first thing that pops out is everything we've listened to from Gorge since the fallout of the World Cup and things that are changing. Immediately, you're trying to piece together how this team's going to look. And the first instance when I saw the squad, the extended squad, was the inclusion of Will Magnay and Jack McVay. They're coming off really strong NBL campaigns. We know they won titles with Tasmania. They both had a massive part of getting to that title run and the way they improved once again through an NBL season. And again, the big question mark we've had since the World Cup and that Gorge has been speaking about is how much more weight goes on players who have been playing at a high level, on the floor, significant minutes in a great league like the NBL, compared to some of the guys who aren't playing as big a minutes and impact. Now, that's changed a bit too with Duop balling out, Jock Landau balling out with the extra opportunity he's getting. So if Gorge was any little step closer in the last few months, I think now he's probably even further away because of those last 2 points, which it's going to make for an exciting camp.
It's a tough squad. It's full of talent and young players, and there's just not enough space to fit all of the talent coming through Australia and even NBL players that you think are probably fringe that didn't get a call up this time at Creek and Humphreys and players like that that are playing at high level here in the NBL. But it is just a stacked list. For me, it's just how does this team come together? How do you find your shooters? How do you find your athletes? Where's the defense come from? Interior presence, obviously missing. Lundale at the World Cup was a big hole that sort of mixed things around. Joe Ingles had to play more at the four, which didn't really suit him. It's just a puzzle piece that's going to be exciting to see how it all comes together.
Let's talk about the positives first, and then we'll get to some of the names that perhaps weren't there. Pete, a couple of names that you mentioned there, Will Magnay and Jack McVay. If you think about the three-year journey of Jack McVay since he signed on to join the Jack Jumpers, or 3.5 years in essence, from where he's been as an Adelaide 36er to now an NBL champion, a grand final MVP, and in the Australian squad, this is one of the remarkable stories, I think, in recent Australian basketball history.
For sure. And again, it speaks to not just what he's doing on the basketball court and the talent, but it speaks to his work ethic. It speaks to the way that he has bought into what it takes to be a professional with everything off the floor. His mindset, the way he attacks every day. We know he's one of the most positive, if not the most positive people around really professional basketball, the way that he lives his life and the way that he tries to shine that light on everybody else and kind of help them through, and he's such a positive person. This is just kind of another reward for all his hard work that he's put in off the floor. He takes care of his body in unique ways, and he knows what he has to do. He's not flashy. He's not the most athletic player out there, but he knew exactly what he could have as an edge on every other opponent that he faced, and it ended up helping him have one of the biggest moments, if not the biggest moments in NBL grand final history, with the big shot from half court to win, and then obviously winning the championship series MVP as well. So it's a great testament to what he has become. He's just 27. He's about to be 28. So there's still plenty of time for him to improve. And he spoke that he's not even really scratching the surface. So again, he's not going – in 2 years' time, he's not going to be throwing down dunks on people. That's just not who Jack McVay is. He's going to continue to work on his handle. He's going to be taking obscure shots. He's going to be doing all of this and that. But it's going to make him an even harder player to guard, and he's going to be a significant piece to whatever team he's on, whether that's a Boomers level, whether that's Tasmania and beyond. This is just the rise of Jack McVay, and I don't think we've seen anywhere near the best yet.
Rowdy, Will Magnay, you think about the struggles that Will Magnay has had, and we saw in the back end of the NBL season, with continuity, fully fit, his rim-protecting abilities, what could he add in a world game and a world tournament like this? What could someone like Will Magnay add to this team?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a better rim protector on the list. You probably, maybe the big fella, the big 7'4" Rocco. But having a rim protector like that is just enormous. He protects the rim. He's a physical presence inside. He's something different to what we have with Lundale and Duop Reith. They're able to score the ball. They're more skilled, probably offensively, step out and shoot the ball. But having an anchor defensively was really missed during the World Cup. So, you know, he's battled injuries for the last couple of years. It's been a tough time for him. We keep building him up and his body keep letting him down. But to see him get a good run of games and form and his ability to change the game at the defensive end is very special and something that I think could fit well into the Boomer squad with how much offense they're going to have and then how he fits with some of the athletic wings who can get up into the passing lanes, cause disruptions, deflections. But if they gamble, we've got a protector at the rim that can meet, chain shots, block shots, and start a fast break at the rim.
And I'm happy to continue to push this. The way that he's played since being healthy and everything Rowdy just mentioned, I think he's got to go to Paris because of those points. And you look at the teams that have had success, and Rowdy, you've been part of those Boomers teams. When Aaron Baines was dominant for us in the green and gold, it was the terror screens. He was not afraid to meet other athletic European and American guards or wings or whatever it is at the rim. He's going to go up and try and block absolutely everything. He's going to throw his weight around. We saw Magnate do that consistently. And all of that helps the guards who want to get up in the passing lane a little bit more. If you get beat, you know that he's going to at least be there to try and alter the shot. He's not going to be playing 25 minutes a game. But to have those spot minutes, have that opportunity to throw that big, athletic, strong body out there is unique compared to what we already have. So I've been looking at it, and I think if he goes into camp and he continues to stay playing the way he is, I think you're going to have to take him because he's different to the super skilled bigs we have in Duop Reith and Jock Landau. And it wouldn't surprise me in certain lineups where they both start, where you start Jock and Duop to really spread the floor. We've had our troubles with shooting. And then you have that ace up your sleeve when, okay, there's a massive big that we're going against who they're just pounding in downside. You throw Will Magnay out there to use his size. And even if it has to be, mate, you've got 5 fouls. I need you out there for a couple of minutes. Be super physical with that. If they're pressuring Josh Giddey up the court, mate, go and flatten someone like Banger used to do. Bo used to do it as well. Nate Jawa used to do it. That is so unique. He's just 25. I love the inclusion. I think it's kind of been a piece we've been missing because we have such super skilled bigs who are really crafty, like Duop and Jock, step out and shoot three. That's not Will Magnay. He is the opposite of that, and I think he does it at a high level. And for that reason, I think if he has a good camp, I think you've just got to take him.
Would you take him, Rowdy?
Yeah, I think I need to digest the squad a little bit more, but there's some really good points. There are some really, really good points. And, his ability to change the game defensively is definitely something that is missing from this squad and his athleticism at the five. There are a lot of really skilled, really strong European bigs. And then obviously if you come across the US, you're going to need some athleticism inside to deal with them. So I'll put it on more than likely, actually. Yeah, now I'm kind of having to think about it. More than likely, I'm just saying he has a very good shot, barring, you know, anything that goes wrong at camp.
So the other intriguing name that I'd love to pick your brains about is Matthew Dellavedova, who won't go away. He refuses to go away. And Brian Gorsden put this on the record that Dally is going to be someone that he's going to have to make a really, really big call on one way or the other. But he's in the squad. He had a fantastic season, particularly the back end with Melbourne United. Culturally, he's as good a person as you could possibly ask to have around. What happens here with Dally?
That's a great question because He does it all. He's the ultimate teammate. He will sacrifice whatever he needs to for the good of the team. There was that big call before the World Cup with Dally and being such a stalwart of the program to miss out. Was that a mistake? It's hard to kind of tell, but he is someone that will just never give up, never relent, and he fits this Boomers culture. Does he fit in with the style of play that they're trying to run and the level of athletes they have around? Possibly, because he's great with athletes and skilled players around him. He's one of those rare players, just like Giddey, probably doesn't have quite the vision of Giddey, but is able to help the offense get easy shots because he knows where players are going to be. He knows how to create space, create shots, great at throwing lobs to bigs. He's really good at bringing other people into the game offensively. And defensively, we know what he gives. He's going to give you 100%. He's going to get up full court the whole game. He's going to get into the opposition's point guard and wear them out. And it's, I think, something from the World Cup that Hools and I touched on last time was they had all these athletes and defensive players, but we didn't see that passion, that full court intensity long enough. And Dele's someone who brings that, whether it's part of the scout or if he just goes off and does it by himself, he's going to put that pressure and everyone builds and gets energy from that. So tough call. Don't have me make a decision now about whether Dele makes it or not, because I love him to death and I love the way he plays, but it is such a talented squad. It's, how does it all fit?
I think he's better placed now than he was in the World Cup because of the offensive onslaught we've seen and the aggression on the offensive end, because we know what he's going to do defensively. But another question we had in the World Cup is, where are the points coming from? And now that he's started to be a lot more aggressive on that end, I think Gorge is now in the back of his mind is like, well, he can get us some buckets now if we absolutely need. If we're going to go down this style of play of playing quick and we're going to try and be more aggressive, then that's kind of the way that he's been going. And maybe that's, I mean, that's why he's back in the squad for sure, is because we start seeing that evolution late in his career. The other flip side of it is, well, then who gets left out? So you're looking down, like, does Dyson Daniels miss out again because Dele's now come back in and the way that Dele's playing? And Josh Green, we know how well he played in the World Cup. Does that push Josh Green out? I don't know if that's the answer, because I think that we need to start to buy into that future. And looking at this squad, I do love it being Gorge's last hurrah, that he has brought in some of the youth, like Johnny Furphy, that Rocco Zakarski, of like, well, then I'm not going to be probably picking them, but I need to give them a taste so that when I move on, I know that they've had that first little taste of the green and gold, and that the future they're going to be very prominent in Boomers teams to come.
What about the names that aren't there? And this is whenever you release a squad, there is a lot of discussion generally about who misses rather than who makes. Couple of names that I want to pepper at you. One is Luke Travers, who we've been discussing for the best part of nearly a year and a half now about if or when Luke will go to Cleveland, yet he's not in this Australian squad.
It's a tough one. I think with Travers, it's, there's such a logjam of that position, of that athletic four, very similar skill sets, athletic, can defend multiple positions. Shooting, I think, is the one thing that we struggle with at the World Cup. And is Travers a better shooter than some of these other guys? Does he bring anything different or more? It's such a hard call, but there's such a logjam at certain positions with very similar type players. How do you choose one over the other? And someone like Cooks, who's, you know, NBL MVP, won championships, went over and had a stint in the NBA, you know, two very similarly skilled players. It's hard to kind of choose, but Cooks has kind of been there and done it before. He has the experience with it. So it's always tough. It's not a fun, I'm sure Gorge has had many discussions and many thoughts about who should be in this squad, who do I leave out? And at the end of the day, everyone can't be a part of the squad, but this is just one, I guess, Olympic cycle. He's still young. He's got a heap of potential. He's still getting better and better in this season. With United, I thought we saw a lot of growth in his game. So if it's something that, you know, it's something that should motivate him to get better and improve and work harder and prove everyone wrong that, hey, I should be not just in this squad, but pushing for selection in this team. So go away, get some more work done, and we'll see you next year.
Hools, what about Isaac Humphries? There's been a lot of talk about the need for bigs in this Australian squad and quality bigs. We do already have a couple with Duop and Jock, and you've already spoken about Will Magnay, but could Isaac consider himself a little unlucky?
I think so, because I think a lot of us are talking about him being part of the squad and he had a fantastic season. And whether you kind of forget about the impact he had, I'm sure Gorge hasn't, because we know he went around to watch everything firsthand, but because that part of Adelaide's season finished so long ago, and Will Magnay continued to play in a grand final series. But again, I looked at Jock Landau, Duop Reith, these guys, they're under 30. So we still have them for another couple of international cycles and after that. And then you throw in Will Magnay, Keanu Pinder still in the squad. And then you have to bring in, obviously, Rocco Zakarski for sure. And Sam Froling has been around that squad, so he's continued to play at a high level. So he's in there. There's five or six in that spot already. And then I think that's where Will Magnay got that last position And it was hard to get Isaac Humphries in there as well. But that was probably one glaring omission I looked at. And I thought that he would get that. But having broken it all down the way we've spoke about it and looked at that. And again, the age is a significant thing. I think that's something that will play in Luke Travers' favor. He's only 22. So Luke Travers is going to have plenty of international team commitments going forward. But I think that age factor of everyone else being around 28 in that spot with Duop and Jock, that that they're the ones for the future anyway, probably didn't help that getting Isaac Humphries in there as well. If they were 31, 32, I think you're going to find Isaac Humphries is in this squad.
The other glaring omission for me, and certainly having a quick read of the NBL's comment section this morning on Instagram, was Mitch Creek. Not in the squad again. I feel like we have this conversation over and over and over. Anyone want to tell us why?
I think the big one, again, that we talk about the age, right? So Mitch Creek will be around 32, if not already, for that cycle. And again, you're looking at the talent right now, and you understand why people are making those comments of like, well, he can make an impact right now. And I think everybody agrees with that. We know how well he plays on the basketball court, but in that same position we're talking about. That's Xavier Cooks, 27, 28, Jack White around that same age. Matisse Thybulle can play the four if you need. There's a couple of other players in that logjam of the spot, because we mentioned why Luke Travers can't. And if we're trying to go down that younger route, that's where it looks like when Gord is heading. Well, we've got guys who are going to be part of this cycle. In Xavier Cooks, who was enormous in the World Cup, he potentially could start. If we're playing both Landau and Duop Reef, because a lot of the teams are going to be big that we play on the international level in the four and the five, then you've got Cooks coming off the bench, potentially Jack White. You've got these younger guys who are going to be at the next World Cup, who are going to be at the next Olympics, that we're going to try and build around. As I said, Matisse Thybulle was still young as well. I think that's probably what was the downfall. And then to get in the Johnny Furphy's, the younger ones, it's kind of Gorge thinking then, well, do I just load it with all that best talent that we have right now? Because if we're loading it with the best talent that we have in a 22-man squad, then you're not having the Roccos right now. You're not having the Johnny Furphys. You've got to make those last part of the squads for that next, even younger group to come through and get that experience.
So, Gorge has flagged a change in style. Well, I mentioned it earlier that he's spoken about the need for more physical bigs, more shooting, which was glaring, obviously, at the World Cup. And he's flagged that we're going to go about this a completely different way, Rowdy. What does that look like? What can we look forward to with this Australian team at the Olympics and the way that they'll play?
It sounds like it's going to be up-tempo, and I think it's Giddy running the point. You got Paddy running off screens, and you just got athletes running the floor. They want to pick up things defensively, start getting into the full court pressure, start turning teams over, speeding them up. This team on paper looks great in transition offensively. Where they got bogged down in the World Cup was in the half-court sets because of the lack of shooting, probably the lack of utilization of Chris Goulding. We were saying it quite a lot back then. We need someone who can just stretch the floor, even if it's for, you know, small minutes, as someone that you cannot leave, you cannot give any inch to. But this team looks like it needs to be up-tempo, high-octane offense, running and gunning. And then defensively using that length and athleticism, be able to switch and cause deflections and protect in the paint. So I think we'll see probably a more exciting style of basketball. I think just giving Giddy the keys and letting everyone work off him. Paddy's going to be the offensive engine, as he has been for a long period of time, and hopefully playing a little bit more up-tempo and more aggressive defensively helps find some easier buckets, helps find some scoring that we really lacked. And sort of still, I think shooting's going to be not an issue, but one thing that we'll have to keep an eye on pretty closely. We have a lot of great young talent, but who's the next Chris Goulding coming through? And someone like DJ Vasiljevic obviously can light it up and score points quickly, but then you got to factor in all the other things. Who would he take and over? Who would he be picked over? And how does he fit? Is he okay just coming off the bench for spot minutes? There's lots of different things that fit into this, but hopefully we see more up tempo, more high scoring, more getting down transition, and using the strength that is the size and athleticism on the wings and in the front court.
I'm a lot more confident now than I was a few months ago, because Duop's been playing at an enormously high level since getting his opportunity. Jock has now taken his opportunity through some injuries and he's playing with a lot of confidence. Giddy's back to playing the way that we all expected. They're all playing at a high level at the right time heading into the camp and getting ready for the Olympics. So all of that has me a lot more confident. I'm right with you, Rowdy, that I still think we need that shooting. And whether that is you throw Chris Golding out there, if he's on the plane, he's got to play. And again, I know he's not in the NBA, but you know that every single international player and prospect knows who that man is, and it will stretch the floor even more for the likes of Giddy to make plays. And again, you put him in the corner, everyone's taking a couple steps closer to Golding and allowing players to make their thing, make their plays. And I think because of that, I wouldn't be surprised if we see both Jock and Duop playing together in heavy minutes, because that way you at least have two bigs who can stretch the floor and can knock down the shot, especially at the FIBA level as well, which allows Giddy to do his thing, which allows Patty. And again, the one we haven't spoke about is Dante Exum. Dante's playing with supreme confidence, and he's got that from Luka and Kyrie. He's going to be coming in ready to roll at a high level. But then defensively, I think we need to utilize Matisse Thybulle. So we've got nowhere near closer probably to figuring out. Good luck, Gorge.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge for Brian Gorge. And last one before we finish up, Rowdy, just on the camp, because realistically that's the next thing to look forward to is when this group gets together in Melbourne in early July. You and Pete have both said it a bit about, you know, having a good camp and looking good in front of Brian Gorge. And what does that look like if you're a player, if you're someone like a Jack McVeigh or a DJ Vasiljevic, and we're saying have a good camp, how do you do that? What are you trying to do?
I think you really have to focus on what you're good at. So the players you just mentioned, obviously shooting the ball well, coming in during any sort of game scrimmages and shooting the ball well, but playing within yourself and fulfilling a role, not trying to come in and be Patty Mills and try and score all the points or do things that are outside of your nature, just doing your role to the best of your ability. And then defensively, Gorgian is a stickler. You need to be talking to me, to communicating on defense. You've got to be in the right coverage. You've got to be paying attention. You've got to be on a string, as we always say when we're talking about defense and coverages. But those little things, I think, is what's going to separate a lot of these players. They're all super talented. There's a lot of youth, there's experiences, there's a lot of really good things as part of this group. But you got to sort of start finding your little niche to make an impact and say, Gorge, you have to take me because I do this the best in this group, or I'm willing to get on this loose ball, or whatever it is. You've got to find a reason to not be picked, because everyone in their own right has some sort of claim to being good enough, but you got to find something that sets you apart and do that better and every time up and down the court.
It's a great squad. Brian Gorgian's got some big decisions to make, and we're going to follow it very, very closely in the lead up to the Olympics. Thank you to have you both with us this morning, particularly you, Rowdy, joining us from the States, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime.
Hulls, we're going to watch on with interest.
Can't wait. Looking forward to breaking it all down. It's NBL slows down, but this heats right up.
Thanks for being with us on our very special edition of NBL Now.